Our Father in heaven, we come to you as we come to your word. And we ask, O God, for a submissive spirit, for a willingness to believe the truths of the gospel. And we pray that the gospel would continue to change our hearts and lives so that more and more we bring you glory, and more we will resemble Jesus Christ and become walking advertisements for the power of the gospel by the way our lives are changed by it. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things in your gospel and help us to lay hold of them as precious. Change us, O Lord, into Christ's image, we pray, by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Paul has introduced himself and his gospel in verses 1 through 5. He's told the Galatian church that he's writing to that he's amazed that they've deserted Christ and deserted the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And now Paul is going to answer some charges that have been made against him by the Judaizers who were causing trouble in Galatia with the church there. Beginning at verse 11, Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Thus far the reading of God's word. The gospel of Jesus Christ has power to change people. And a perfect example of that is the Apostle Paul himself. You may recall, if you've been following us, that the Judaizers were accusing Paul of being a servant of the original apostles. They said he was made an apostle by them. So Paul tells his conversion story, how he was converted not by any man or apostle, but by the power of God revealing Christ to and in him, and by giving him faith in Jesus. And the good news that Paul gives us in telling his story here is that the gospel has the power to change even the worst of sinners. And to see that, we simply need to look carefully at Paul's testimony and then apply his doctrine to ourselves. We see first that Paul breaks his testimony into two parts. Let's call them B.C. and A.D. Those are the way we divide history, before Christ and the year of our Lord or Anno Domini. Paul's B.C. represents the time before Christ, before God revealed Christ in him. He tells us he was a violent promoter of Judaism and its traditions in verses 13 and 14. You've heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. He was a violent promoter of Judaism and its traditions, and the gospel he preaches, he says, is not according to or from man, and not even from the apostles, verses 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He received it directly from Jesus himself, and that's what changed him. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. In chapter 9, beginning at verse 1 of the book of Acts, now Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, those would be the Christians, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And it came about that as he journeyed, he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And then go down to verse 15. Ananias had come, and on God's instructions, to teach him about the Lord and about the gospel. But when the Lord called him, he said to him, verse 15, Go, that is, go to Saul, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias departed and entered the house. After laying hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. Ananias did not convert him. He went to Paul after Christ himself converted him. Nor did any other man or apostle convert him. Christ himself appeared to and converted Paul. All Ananias was used to do was confirm that Paul hadn't dreamed it or imagined it. That's his BC days coming to an end, his before Christ days coming to an end, and now we turn to AD, which means Anno Domini, the year of the Lord and his favor. And God himself fulfilled his own plans for Paul that were made before Paul was even born. 15a in Galatians 1, But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, even from the time he was born, God had set Paul apart. And it was God's grace in the gospel, not the law, as the Judaizers were trying to tell the Galatians, and not keeping the traditions of Judaism, as the Judaizers were again trying to tell the Galatians. It was God's grace in the gospel that changed Paul. And God's eternal plan was that through Christ, Paul would be Christ's apostle, Christ's man, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's life is an illustration of the power of the new birth. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, where the new birth is described. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, that's Paul's point, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he is committed to us, that would be Paul and his fellow preachers, the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we, Paul and those with me, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin, that is Christ, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Paul's former life is an example of the truth that we're born sinners, enemies of God, and hostile to the gospel. Look at the way he describes himself in Galatians 1 in verses 13 and 14. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Paul's former life was changed. And God himself fulfilled his own plans in Paul's life. Paul's former life proves that we're born sinners who are hostile to the gospel, but each person's life is under the sovereign control and influence of God himself. Paul did not choose Christ, nor did the apostles choose Paul. God chose him before his birth, or even before the foundation of the world. Verses 15 and 16a. When he who had set me apart from my mother's womb and called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. He had nothing to do with men showing him what he needed to do. All Ananias did was just confirm Paul's experience on the Damascus Road. And we know what happened next. He says that he didn't consult with flesh and blood, nor, verse 17, did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. He didn't report to them so that they would approve him, but has reported to them what Christ had done. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. He spent 3 years in Arabia, we know else from elsewhere in Scripture, likely studying the Scriptures he knew so well, only now seeing Christ revealed in the Old Testament Scriptures he knew so well, and seeking to know God's will better as to what he wanted him to do now. Remember, he said, "What would you have me do, Lord," when he was converted. And then he returned to Damascus, and we'll learn next week what he did after that. But here's the story of Paul's life. This is a history. It's not a fictional account. It's an autobiographical account. God took hold of a violent sinner, committed to wiping out the church, and made him, Paul, its greatest human representative in his day, and perhaps in all of history. So much for Paul's before Christ and after Christ days. And this is what the gospel has the power to do in lives. Jesus takes a hold of and changes those who trust in him, his redeeming work on the cross. We're all born in sin, capable of doing evil. We're born enemies of Christ. Every one of us by nature hate Jesus and are totally depraved from the heart. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "of the spirit that is now at working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too," Paul says, "all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." We were born outside of and as enemies of the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." The only way of change is through Christ. We are born depraved sinners, committed in heart and from the heart to sin. And only God's common grace prevents us from fully living that out until we die. But God, in his sovereign and gracious mercy, calls sinners to Christ. He saves them and he changes them from enemies to into his children and friends, just as he did with Paul. And the means he uses to change sinners into his friends and children is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The word of God in the gospel has the power to change lives. And Peter himself, who knew something of the need to change, wrote of that in his first epistle. Turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. And Peter writes, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." If you have been born again by the Spirit of God through the word and by faith in Christ, then you are a new creature, a new man or a new woman in Christ. What changes when you're born again, when you believe in Jesus? What changes is your record of sin, your wicked, sinful heart, and the master you were born loyal to, namely the devil. When you believe in Jesus by his grace, by his power, you are given a perfect record of sinlessness. Christ is made our righteousness. Christ himself is made our righteousness, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:30. And you're given a new heart and a new life, Ezekiel 36:25 and 26. God promised, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." That means a tender heart. And not only are you given a perfect record of sinlessness and a new heart and a new life, you're given a new and good master, Jesus, who says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," Matthew 11:30. So if you come to Christ, he will take hold of the old sinful you and make you a new person and remake you into his own image. So in the third place, let's conclude by reviewing the gospel you have believed in or must believe in to be saved. It always starts with bad news. You are born in sin and are by nature God's enemy, which means three things are true of you without Christ, and this is just like Paul was. You are the child of Adam and Eve, who fell into sin against God, and by virtue of your descent from them, made you a sinner. Secondly, that means you inherited their original sin and their sinful nature and their guilt before God, and you could do nothing but sin. You can't help it. You have no choice. Which means that you were God's enemy and headed for an eternal death in agony and pain in hell. But in mercy, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners. Born without sin, Jesus lived in sinless obedience to his Father and his Father's law. We talk about the Ten Commandments. That was his Father's law. It sums it up. And he lived that way by obeying his Father in his life, and at the end of his life, by allowing the devil to use wicked men to crucify him for sins he did not commit. And thus he took upon himself the guilt of those people that God chose before creation, like Paul. And he suffered sin's penalty of hell and death in their place, so that they could be forgiven. And the gospel that changed Paul was simply this, and remains simply this. If you will trust in the obedient life and the suffering and death of Jesus as your substitute, you will be forgiven. Beloved, Paul believed this gospel and it changed him. And that same gospel has the power to change your life for all eternity. If you believe it, God will make you a new man or a new woman, a new boy or a new girl in Christ. You do not change you. The church does not change you. Men and women do not change you. No. By the power of God, the gospel will change you. And begin to do that the moment you confess your sins and repent of them. That is, confess your guilt for them and seek to leave them behind as your way of life. And that's called repentance. And then believe the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners like you. My question is, have you done that? Have you seen your need to be saved from your sin? My dear friend, do not leave this moment in time without doing that. May God in mercy grant you his grace and reveal Christ in you as he did with Paul and make you a new creature, a new son or daughter by faith in him. If you have done that, may it please God to reveal his son in you today. If you've not done that, may God do that now. But if you have done that, if you have trusted in Jesus, repented of your sin, praise God, because he made it possible. And you are a new person in Christ. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that has that kind of power. Some of us, Lord, are Christians, but we still struggle with our sin. Help us to rest in the gospel and the saving power of Christ to continue changing us until the day we come to be in your presence, perfectly conformed to his image. But Father, I pray for anyone who is listening, who does not know you yet, that they would turn to Christ. And if they've been hesitating, we pray you take away the hesitation and simply call them to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. Do the miracle of giving a new birth to them, that they might live forever with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.